speaker this morning. It is not me. It is a very special young lady, Tara Lee. So she's just getting mic'd up there, and then she's going to come on, and we're just going to pray for her and get her set up. And wasn't that good this morning? Wasn't the announcements fun? Yeah. Especially when I'm told at 12 o'clock at night, hey, by the way. No, it wasn't that late. It was around 10. But it was good. It was fun. Well, come on, Tara Lee. Check, check.
Check, check.
Check, check.
Oh, thanks, guys. I so love you, too.
We quickly pray for you. Well,
thank you. I need it.
Yeah. So, Lord, I want to thank you for our sister.
Thank you.
I ask, Lord God, that you would just use her this morning as a temple of your voice, Lord. Help us to open up our hearts and our minds to hear from you. And so, Lord, we just honor you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. How are you? That was quite a rockin' set this morning. Man, how do I follow that up? Well, it is such a privilege to be here to speak today. We're continuing on our service, or our series, pardon me, on honoring the King. And Jesus is worth honoring. Amen. Amen. Well, there was, I have to start this off with really a confession. Wasn't that long ago, a couple of weeks ago, I took your pastor out on a hike. Pastor Carolyn, that is. And yeah, she's so game. You guys would have been so proud of her. She's a Kootenai girl through and through. You would be fooled if she were to tell you, yeah, she grew up in the East Coast, but actually, no, she's a Kootenai girl. So I had it all planned out. We were going to, I'm getting my slide together as I'm speaking, so just a lot of grace there. But yeah, so I took her out to Fisherville Historic Site. That's by the Wild Horse River. Some of you are familiar with that. There we go. Anyway, so I had it all planned. We were going to go out. It was going to be a sunset hike, and it was going to take possibly maybe 60 minutes to do all of the historic sites. She's a history geek like me, so we're two peas in a pod that way. But with it being sunset in this time of year, I didn't really think it was going to get all that dark that fast. But lo and behold, she trusted me. And we parked the Jeep into the bush, and we made our way up the trail towards some of the monuments. And it got dark fast. And I'm not exaggerating. It was crazy. Now, before we left, I had a little inkling inside of me to make sure that we packed up the headlamp. And I thought, nah, it won't be that big of a deal. 60 minutes out, sunset's not going to be a big deal. It's not my first rodeo. I've been in the bush in the dark before. We'll make it. Well, have you ever said something like that and regretted it? I did, yeah. So I'm not too unfamiliar with being in the bush in the dark, but you guys, I have your pastor, so there's an added pressure there. I have a pressure to return her in the same shape as I took her out. Okay, so anyway, we headed out to Fisherville, and we took in the sights, and yeah, so the first, this is what Fisherville looks like in the dark. Just bear with me, and Terry, we're an awesome team today. Yeah, well anyway, imagine what it looks like. Use your imagination. Yeah, just close your eyes. That's exactly what Fisherville looks like in the dark. No street lights. So because I didn't take my headlamp, and usually if the sky is open and the stars are out, you can actually adjust your eyes to see in the dark. But because we're in the thick of the woods, there was no room for that light to hit the ground. All right. So anyway, moving on. Fisherville, that's not what Fisherville looks like in the dark, okay? That's what Bethlehem looks like when Jesus was born. I guess I'm doing a different message today. Well, anyway, long story short, we're in the bush, and Pastor Carolyn is so prepared. She's got her little bear bell, okay? That's Fisherville in the dark. Isn't it beautiful? You guys want to see that. Now, Fisherville with a little bit of light. There you go. Makes a world of difference, right? So what you're seeing is Griffith's Orchard, and it's a historic site. A Welsh family had immigrated to Fisherville during the Gold Rush, and he built his home and he set up an orchard. See creepy tree on the right? That is an apple tree over 150 years old, and there's still three left, and they still bear fruit, but as you can see, it's been trashed because the bears climb them and the elements get to them. But anyway, the whole point of this is it looks way different when there's light than when there's dark. It's more enjoyable. Long story short, her and I made it safely back to the Jeep. She wears this bear bell on her pack, and it ding-a-lings in the dark. And I couldn't help but wonder, is this actually going to ward off a bear or maybe attract one? I'm just thinking. It's supper time, right? I know how I'm feeling. So the idea was is we'd finish up the hike, and then we would head down to the river. We'd set up a fire there, and we'd roast some smokies, okay? And what's really cool about that is if the fire was never part of the plan, we would have just went home after the failed hiking in the dark trip, okay? But because we had something to look forward to, that this was really the excellence of the night. So we set up this fire at Wild Horse River, and there's some pictures there. And what's really cool about the fire in the dark and in the cold is it gives a sense of warmth and closeness, right? Now, Pastor Carolyn lives in a house full of boys. I live in a house full of boys, so I really like this girl time. And really, even though we were in the dark, nothing actually changed what was going on in the dark. It certainly changed the way the dark responds to us. And that's just exactly it. Fire actually changes the way we view the dark. The next slide. Darkness actually creates a space for fear. Because when you can't see, you don't know where you're going. And you have no idea what's happening around you. And you're only left to speculate what's really going on. And it wasn't very long before we were hearing some creepy sounds and we couldn't identify what those sounds were. Next slide. We assumed and heard this is exactly what, this is where we were sharing our space with. We were positive from what we were hearing. And that's just like it, right? With the dark, you're left to only speculate what is really around you. But in reality, it was just the rocks moving in the water as the stream was flowing over them, and there was a pebble rolling down the bank maybe, or it could have been the firewood crackling. But the truth of the matter, the whole point is light exposes what's in the darkness. It really reveals what's really there. And Jesus is the light of the world. Amen? And I don't care what anybody's ever said to you, there is no other light in the darkness but Jesus Christ. So let's put our faith and our hope in him. When I was doing some study on this topic, we're going to be talking about fire. Fire is actually very symbolic in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is a symbol of God's presence with his people. And what the word that comes to mind, look at me fly through these notes. It's in Exodus 13:21, and I want to just encourage you, see the Bible references there? For those that want to take time to study in their own time, please write some of those references down. I encourage you to do some of your own study in the Word. I just want to encourage you to never, ever take at face value what people are saying about the Word. Be diligent to study the Word for yourself. So Exodus 13:21 says, "The Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire." Well, the pillar of fire, which is really our fire pit that night, was really amazing. It offers protection, it offers warmth, but it offers comfort. And fire also tests the purity of silver and gold. The Bible says that the Lord tests the heart. And I love how God is showing in that scripture about being a cloud in the day, protecting them from the blazing heat, but also being a pillar of fire in the night to giving them warmth and comfort and leading them. God is so good. Well, the scripture we're going to unpack today is Leviticus 6:12-13. It says, "The fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously, and it must not go out." So here you have a picture in the Old Testament. We have what looks like, it's called the process of atonement. And I'm just going to really keep this simple. Us being sinful in the fall with Adam and Eve, we've been separated by God. Sin has separated us. God is holy, and God longs to have a relationship with us. So he created a way just before Jesus through this process in order to for us to have access to a holy God. Because if someone were to come into the presence of God in the state that we are, they would be destroyed. But God loved us so much that he created this process for us to have relationship. And this access is a symbol of fire. And he's saying, keep the fire burning. It must not go out. Keep the fire burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. It stresses it over twice. And that is really him stressing, I want this relationship with you. I do not want access cut off. I want to be close with you. And so now, with Jesus coming, being born on Christmas Day, the light of the world, our hope and our Savior, and then he lived to die on the cross, and he died on the cross for the sins of all mankind. Okay, the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And repentance is really turning from our old way and following him, being real before God and returning to God. And that is always his heart. It always has been in the Old Testament, and it is now. So really, if we think about it, that principle hasn't changed. The fire now is not on an altar. The fire actually burns inside of us in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Is that true? Amen. And so with that, God's principle is still the same. He does not want that fire to go out. Okay, so today we're going to learn about how to keep the fire burning. Amen? So I did some research on fire, and I'm fascinated by fire. Most of you probably are fascinated by fire. But there's actually four stages of fire. There's the incipient stage, stage one. Stage two is growth. Stage three is fully developed. And stage four is decay. So we're going to kind of look at what that looks like. The incipient stage, which is the initial stage, as you can see at the top, okay, ignition needs heat, it needs fuel, it needs tinder and oxygen to combust. Combust means come into flame. And once combustion begins, where it goes from here is solely dependent on the levels of oxygen and the fuel. Radiant heat warms the fuel and it continues this process called pyrolysis, which really is a breaking down of the material through elevated temperatures. As you know, fire breaks down things. So you have all these logs on the fire, and before you know it, you just have this pile of ashes. That is pyrolysis. Smoke levels are very limited in the incipient stage, and actually the fire is usually contained in a small space. So if there is an undesired fire, so say you have a fire in your house, you want to nip it at this stage before it gets out of control. And so firefighters will want to try to combat that right away. Now, spiritually speaking, Satan's a bit of a firefighter himself, okay? If he can all prevent you from even getting on fire for the Lord, if he can try to prevent you from even coming into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, which is stage one, he'd love it if he could just never allow that to happen. But if you were to come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and you move into this stage where the fire is now burning in your heart, he will do everything he can to keep you from moving forward in your relationship with God, because he truly wants it to end, okay? So stage two, which is called growth, the fire will now move beyond the initial stage if it is given oxygen. And as it is adequately fueled, what happens is the heat rate rises, and therefore it creates a higher demand for more fuel and more oxygen. And this is a very active stage. This is when you are lighting a desired fire, as Pastor Carolyn and I did that evening. We wanted to get it to grow, to keep that fire burning. So spiritually speaking, how do we get the fire to grow? Well, we do that through prayer. We do that through personal study of the word. We do that by assembling with one another that are on fire. We heat each other up. We sharpen one another. And we do that also by walking in right relationship with God. So if we see areas in our life that we fall short, we confess them. We throw it on the fire and allow God to consume our life, because it's really his desire that we be ablaze. Amen? Okay, so the dangers... you're doing amazing, Terry. Isn't she awesome? I'm so amazed. She's making this so easy. Okay, so the dangers that we can run into during the growth stage is we could put too much fuel on the fire right away, and it could actually smother the fire. And the picture I got when I was looking at that is legalism. Legalism can creep in where it causes us to want to perform for God, to try to get him to love us more, try to be acceptable to God. No, we're saved by grace. We're actually empowered to do good works because we're set free. We don't have to try to appease God. Amen? So legalism can actually smother us. We don't want that. We don't want to move into that. The other danger we can run into is not having enough fuel at this stage. So as the tinder is burning and the kindling is burning up, it can burn up really fast. We want to keep that fire fueled so that it can grow into the next stage. Now, what's really interesting is in my study, I was looking, there's this thing called a flashover. And this is if the fuel and oxygen and heat rate increase at such a rapid rate, like, you know what I'm talking about? Flashover can actually cause that fire to spread to other sources. So firefighters don't ever want the flashover to happen, but it can happen. But spiritually speaking, we want a flashover. We want that fire to spread. Amen? So I don't know. I kind of look at that like it could be like the infilling of the Holy Spirit, being baptized with the Holy Spirit, being empowered to do good things, be empowered to be effective, be empowered in operating in the gifts. We want the flashover. Now, stage three is the fully developed stage of the fire. Fuel in the wood is actually burning. So this is called all surface involvement. It's when all the fuel is on fire. Smoke is now becoming more evident as it grows, and the energy release rate from the fire is at its peak. Now, this stage of the fire is the best when you've got a campfire going. Because as you can see, I was kicking it back, enjoying my coffee. And I didn't have to be so active to try to maintain and grow that fire now. Now I can actually enjoy it. Yes, I got to continue to maintain it. That's the whole idea. But I don't have to work really, really hard like I did in the growth stage. Okay, so with that, kicking back and drinking my coffee, what could you imagine can happen if I do that too long? Fire starts to go down, right? Starts to move into decay stage. God does not want us to move into decay stage. Beloved, we do not want to move into a decay stage. We want to always handle fire, not carelessly, but with much care. So on a very real level, as you can see with that log, I opened up the cage to poke the wood to try to get the unburnt fuel or the wood to burn, catch, and that hot log rolled out, okay? And it got me thinking, we have to approach fire with great respect. Regardless of what we believe about fire, regardless of what I understand or what someone's told me about fire, fire actually has its own terms, and I have to comply with those terms, okay? Why? Because I could get a lot of grief from that. If careless handling of a fire could actually hurt me, right? When it was actually meant to be a beneficial enjoyment. So what does that mean? Well, spiritually speaking, we need to revere God in absolutely all aspects. God is holy. Guys, he's worthy of adoration. He is worthy of worship. And he is full of mercy and grace. We're not to take that for granted. We're to enjoy it, yes, and receive, but never take it for granted. We have full access to God, okay, through Jesus Christ, but we must approach God on his terms and not our own, okay? So that leads me to proper care in relationship. Now, as we were talking earlier about Leviticus 6, God was commanding that the wood and the sacrifice be put on daily. Because of the cross, the veil that used to separate us, God was behind the holies. The Bible says that veil was torn. Okay, the cross now has become our fire. Amen. But with that, God has invited us into relationship. We could face the dangers of being passive in our relationship with God and with others. If anyone's ever had a relationship with God or with each other, we know that you have to actually be active. It's not a passive thing. There are dangers of not maintaining that relationship. Relationship with God and with others It takes commitment. It takes purposeful involvement in being devoted to one another for it to be healthy. The dangers of wrong approach. Jesus had taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Okay, so when we reverently fear God, that doesn't mean we're afraid of him, okay? But it just means that we come to him with high respect, high regard, high honor. We give thought to who we're talking to. He sent this little baby, Jesus, okay, who is Emmanuel, God with us. He sent him to earth. And why did he do that? Because it's his love song. It's his gift to us. It's his relationship with us. I pray, my prayer this Christmas is that we never lose sight of that. That the gift of heaven is Jesus Christ. He lived and he died. And he died to pay for the sins of this world. And he rose again on the third day. We celebrate that. We celebrate that. We have a credible relationship with God. There are some dangers of not dealing with wrong attitudes and behaviors right away. And I don't know if any of you have raised children, but maybe yours are perfect, but mine have challenged me with their wrong attitudes and behaviors. Does that mean I stop loving them? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Not even a question. But we need to deal with those attitudes and those behaviors. Have you ever tried to have a relationship with someone who had kind of a sour attitude or sour behavior? It's very difficult to have a healthy relationship with someone who has wrong attitudes and behaviors. As we know so well that sin separates, but repentance actually draws us near. When we're honest and authentic with one another and we're humble and we're willing, that actually draws us near. It draws us near to God and it draws us near to each other. There is a danger of disengagement. We were created for relationship. God wants relationship with us, and he demonstrated this through Jesus. And he really desires for us to have fulfilling relationships with each other. Last but not least, stage four. It says stage three is a typo. That proves that I did the slide myself. This is the decay stage. We want to avoid this stage at all costs. So what happens on a very real level with a fire? The fuel in the wood has been consumed at this point. Oxygen levels are considerably low. The fire does not have enough heat release rate to bring it back into flashover to cause it to fire up again. The unconsumed gases begin to build up, and then this is where it creates a toxic environment where it is smoke overload. I don't know if those that have had fireplaces and it's just beginning to smolder and there's not enough air to bring it up the flue to the chimney, but it begins to build and it fills the house. It's not favorable. In this stage, the coals are extremely hot, the glowing embers, as you can see, but it's very hard to get close to because of the gas and the smoke. Now, the decay stage on a spiritual level, Jesus says that the love of many will grow cold. And we can see if there are indicators maybe in our lives that where there could be an indicator that we're moving into a decay stage. Matthew 26, where Jesus was saying that we should always watch and pray against a temptation. So if there is a lack of desire to pray, that is an indicator. That is an alarm bell. We want to respond to that. If there is an indicator of maybe a lack of discernment in the Word of God, and that can be seen as maybe believing and following people who tell us what we want to hear rather than listening to the truth of the Word and obeying it and testing the Word. We're actually called to test the Word to make sure that what we're being taught is biblical. Amen? There could be an indicator of a lack of willingness to have compassion to serve those who are poor and vulnerable, those who are marginalized. My heart for us today is that we never lose the love and the desire to serve those, to protect those that are less fortunate, to always be giving, always in a position to love and to give. Because if we forget the poor, there's something wrong. There's really something wrong. Another indicator is a form of defeatism. Okay, and this is when you want to give up because it gets tough or convenient. Look at beloved, as much as I'm standing before you today, serving God isn't always convenient. It's not always comfortable. In fact, a lot of the time it isn't. But it's so rewarding. And so God is always challenging us to push past that, okay? Push past the comfort and push past being uncomfortable and inconvenienced when he presents opportunities for us to serve with love. Another indicator is having an apathetic or an attitude or behavior, having this indifference, or we move into self-preservation. Statements such as, well, I don't care anymore, or really there's no point, or it just no longer serves me. Those are indicators that we're moving into the decay stage. Now, Satan wants decay in your life more than you can ever know, okay? But we're reminded here, who's defeated him for us? Jesus. This is the Jesus that we worship. And as you can see, his head has been crushed. Amen? In other words, John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The Bible says that Satan is the father of lies. He lies, and he's going to try to get you to bite those lies. He is a deceiver. There's nothing worse than being deceived. You know why? Because you don't even know you're deceived. Okay? It's why knowing your word and being with people who are on fire for the Lord, it's so important to be around that. The Bible says he is a murderer and a divider, and he causes people to fall away. But the truth of the matter is, he is defeated. Let us never forget he is defeated, okay? And he will only take, he can only steal if we give him room to. I don't want us to walk away and be afraid of Satan. We don't have to be afraid of him. He's defeated. But we have to be aware and we have to be warned when we see his darkness, he's a prince of darkness. His tactics are moving in our life. We need to take a hold of that. Take guard. We need to rebuke him. And we have to remember we walk in the authority of Christ. We have the authority and the power to render him powerless and useless in our life. Amen? Okay, so what happens now? What if you have identified that there could be a decay indicator or you see that in some form of your life? I want you to know, first of all, it's not too late. There is hope, okay? As you could see with the decay stage, when I showed you that the logs were just smoldering, all I did was I took a little bit of tinder and I just touched the coal, and guess what happened? It caught on fire immediately. And isn't that like our God? Is he not a God of second chances? As we were seeing today about keeping the fire burning, it is God's heart that you catch on fire and you stay on fire for him. He's all for it. We cannot start a fire in our own lives. We don't come to God on our just because we want to come to God. It's actually the Holy Spirit that draws us into relationship with God. He is the fire starter, but we are the flame keeper. Does that make sense? God says in Malachi 3, it says, return to me and I will return to you. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins to God, he will keep the promise and do what is right. He will forgive us our sins and he will purify us from all wrongdoing. As we're seeing the fire of God, it cleanses, it purifies, the fire restores. And so my challenge to you is to let God consume everything, absolutely everything that's holding you back. Let him consume your life. Let his joy, let his peace, let his goodness flood you. Be a witness to the darkness around you. There are people that are stuck in darkness around you, and God wants so much to get a hold of their life, to touch their life. Let us be faithful witnesses. Now, I do want to give an opportunity. There might be some of you today that are recognizing, I don't actually have this relationship with God. I have recognized that maybe all this time I've been like in the dark, fumbling around, trying to find my way. But now I see that there is hope. I want to give you an opportunity to receive that hope. So if that is you and you have never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, who is the light and the only light of the world, I want to give you an opportunity. And all you have to do today is you need to say, Lord Jesus, I confess of my sins. I am a sinner. And I receive your mercy and your forgiveness today. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. And maybe there are some of you today that are into finding some of these indicators that there is some decay in your life. I want to give you hope too. I want you to have an opportunity to bow your head and say, Lord, I come to you with this, with these sins, with this decay in my life, and I give it before you, and I'm going to give you a chance just but quietly between you and God to name those things. I just want to do that now. So come before him and just give it to him if that's you. And just say, Lord Jesus, I confess this to you, but I give it to you now, Lord, and I pray that you would fan the flame in my heart, that you would cause me to step, come on fire again. And Lord, that you would teach me by your word, and you would teach me how to pray and how to pursue you with all the days of my life. For I confess that I am yours and you are mine, and you are the holy flame, and I give my life entirely to you. And I forsake these things. I throw them on the fire, Lord. And I say, you can have it all in Jesus' name. And in that, I want to close with this benediction found in Ephesians 3:20-21. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him, God, be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.